Father, I ask you now in Jesus' name, Lord, you will allow the ministry of your word to come forth. And Lord, well, I just don't want to preach a word. I don't want to preach a message. Father, I want to say something and minister something from your spirit, Lord, that will help us and that will encourage us, that will give us direction. And Lord, I can't shepherd all these folks. I can't do it. And Lord, I pray today as I begin to share about that you'll help me explain that. You'll help me share the necessity for us to disciple one another, so that when you do want to send people here, when you begin to send those that you have promised us here, that Lord, there will be people ready to minister to them. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. If you want to hear something from the Lord today, say amen. Amen. Proverbs 17:17 says that a friend loves how often? At all times. But a brother was born why? For adversity. The way you find out that if a friend really is a friend is when times get hard. That's when you really find out if there's something that just transcends normal friendship, if he loves you at all times. A friend will love you at all times. A real friend. We've all had friends that when things got bad, the friend was gone, right? And that's not true friendship. Friendship is when things get bad, the friend steps in. And that's what friendship really is. That the brother is born for adversity. I want you to look now at 2 Kings 2:10. And what I'm ministering about and what I started talking about last week was the first point of the 7 points of the word of the Lord over our church, the purposes of our church. And the first one is that we will be a pioneering prophetic church. And the key thought here to have this pioneering prophetic church was the development of relationships and friendships. It's going to be fellowship before function. It's going to be friendship before function. And that's what I really want to talk about today is friendship before function. Before I can make you into a disciple by the ministry of the Holy Spirit, before you can convert any person, before you can win anybody to Jesus and be used in that capacity, you're going to have to become a friend of that person. It's going to be, you got to learn how to make friends. You got to learn how to be friendly. And this is what I really want to talk about today. In 2 Kings 10:2, we saw this wonderful scripture there last week. And it's just stuck with me. 15. And this is a story about Jehonadab and Jehu. And Jehu was the guy that took care of Jezebel. And he was anointed by Elijah the prophet. In verse 15 it says, "Now when he had departed from there, he met Jehonadab, the son of Rechab, coming to meet him. And he greeted him and said to him, 'Is your heart right as my heart is with your heart?' And Jehonadab answered, 'It is.' Jehu said, 'If it is, give me your hand.' And he gave him his hand, and he took him up and to him into the chariot. And he said, 'Come with me and see my zeal for the Lord.'" One of the first things that we've got to understand about friendship is that if you're going to have somebody into your chariot, they have got to see your zeal for the Lord. Now, get the picture. Here is these guys about to go and chop up Ahab's descendants and the prophets of Baal. And he says, "Come, I want you to see my zeal for the Lord." And I challenged you last week and I asked you, who is riding in your chariot? Who have you bore heart to heart with? Who have you gone to and said, "Is your heart right with my heart as my heart is with yours?" Who have you linked with and invited to go with you into your chariot so that they can go and see your zeal for the Lord? I shared with you that it's been about 2 years since I've really been able to disciple somebody, that I've been able to spend the time that's necessary with a person to bring them to the place of discipleship where they can go out and minister. They can have the confidence and the understanding and the knowledge to go and lay hands on somebody and work the gifts of the Spirit and allow ministry to come forth. But Jesus ministered to the 70 and he sent them out and they could cast out devils and they could heal the sick and they could do the works of the ministry. So it's been about 2 years or so since I've really done that. But I find that in the Great Commission, the very first thing that he says is to do what? Go into all the world and make disciples. So what he wants us to do is to make disciples. And so I really want you to challenge your thinking. Are you making disciples or are you just coming to church? Are you doing something? You know, we really got to understand. Bye, Caitlin. Bye. We've got to understand that there's more to this thing than just coming to church on Sunday. That we're here to learn how to praise God, worship God, learn about things, but and also get teaching and praising. And, but we're supposed to go be making disciples. Who is in your chariot? Who have you linked heart to heart with? Is your heart right with my heart? Is my heart is with yours? And when this happens, then there has to be this linking. I've had people calling me all week or talking to me all week and saying, you know, my heart is kind of linked up. And I believe that the Lord would have me to minister to this person or this family or something and link up with this heart. So I'm really encouraging you. That's number one. A friend you will know that sticks close to you will be interested in your zeal for the Lord and in firing that up and will be interested in seeing your zeal for the Lord. And then the second thing that I told you is that a friendship must transcend races. Come on now, folks, we got to break this Southern tradition and mentality that we've got that's in our heritage. We've got to come against this thing. This is a demon spirit from hell. Now listen, Paul got in Peter's face about prejudices. Talk to me now. You know I'm telling you the truth. And this area has got to have a church that will stand up and get into the face of religiosity and say, listen, you're wrong. The most segregated time cannot be at 11 o'clock in the morning. Think about it. The most segregated time in the United States of America is 11 o'clock on Sunday morning. Am I right? White churches and black churches. Man, that's of hell. That's just of hell. The government has tried to do something about it. They tried to bust us together. Amen? Tried to do all these things together. Has it worked? You know why it hasn't worked? Because the government can't deal with sin. What must deal with sin? That's what the church is here for, to come against the gates of hell. Hello? Some of my best friends, I mean, really, when I, in Trinidad, in Tobago, in Barbados, I'm a minority there. And when I go there, some of the most precious people, when I need somebody to pray for me, they've got these Indians from Trinidad, Tobago, and Negroes. And man, I'm telling you, they loved me. They took me in their homes. They prayed for me. They were calling me when my mama died. They were calling me to find out how things were going. Folks, friendship must transcend racism. And what I want to talk about today is that friendship is going to be friends before function. It's going to be friends before you make a convert. And I want you to look with me in Matthew 11. Matthew 11, I want to start at 16. There is a sister passage to this. It's in Luke 7, 33. But I want to read Matthew 11, 16, 17, 18, and 19. This area must have a church that can stand up and take all the flack and all the criticism that the religion's people can hand us and still be a light and salt to this world. We've got to come to that place and that understanding. Now, in Matthew 11 and 16, but whereunto shall I liken this generation? It is likened to children sitting in the markets and calling unto their fellows and saying, we have piped unto you and we have danced and you have not danced. We have mourned unto you and you have not lamented. For John came neither eating nor drinking, but they say he hath a devil. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a man gluttonous and a wine bibber, a friend of publicans and sinners, but wisdom is justified of her children. A friend to who? A friend to who? Publicans and sinners. And it's, you know, we're talking publicans as a tax collector. It would be a government official. Friend to government officials and sinners. Isn't it neat that the Spirit of God puts both of those in the same breath? Government officials and sinners. It seems it'd be very difficult to be a government official and not be a sinner. I don't know. I guess you can be. But it's, you know, I know we've got some that aren't, but there, it's unique that I saw that. A friend of sinners. Now, the thing I want to show here is that it's apparent that Jesus made friends with sinners. Now, when I say friends here, the thought and the word means to have acquaintance with, It's not like the friend that the disciples became that he laid his life down for, but it's the friendship, the acquaintance, and before they became disciples, before the people came into the kingdom of God and received salvation, before the lost was found, they became friends. And so the principle that I want to project to us today, and here's the message summed up in a sentence: before people become converts or disciples, Jesus first became their friend. Now, all of us know people that are not serving God or serving the Lord in different capacities and ways. You're in the workplace. You go to work, you go to different places, you have your relatives. It's a wonderful time of the year. It's Thanksgiving and Christmas. You're going to be around sinners and maybe some publicans, but definitely around some sinners. And what if you have the Spirit of God in you, do you put them down? Do you come across with your piousness? You know, maybe they're smoking a cigarette or having a glass of wine or beer. Do you come across and piously put them down? Or do you project yourself as a friend? I'm asking for an answer. Before you'll win them to Jesus, you must let them know that they can be your friend. Come on now. You see, and we have this thought, this religious thinking, that we can't. I'm trying to be very careful. I'm going to balance this thing, because there is a spirit that seems to be coming into the church that's wanting to send Christians into the bars, into the dance halls, into the saloons, where I believe is where we've got to go. But I don't yet believe we're equipped to go there. Do you understand what I'm saying? You don't send somebody that has an alcoholic problem into a bar, okay? Unless you know they are totally delivered and equipped to go into that bar. Okay, you don't send somebody that has a problem with lust to a hooker and say, go witness to her. You know, you've got to equip the saints. And so I'm wanting to balance this thing. We are salt and we're light, and that means something, doesn't it? I mean, Jesus said that you are the salt of the earth, but if you're not going out there and salting anything, then what good are you? You're not good for anything except to be trotted on by the feet of men. And that's kind of what's happened to the church, isn't it? I mean, the world has pretty much trotted on us. They started talking about us and walking all over us. Why? Because we're not salting anything. We've taken our light and we've hid it in the four walls. And so what Jesus is saying to this church today is it's time to be salt and light. It's time to step out. It's time to go out of here with what you've been equipped with and what we've learned and go forth and minister into our area. We're salt and we're light. Jesus said that wisdom is justified by the results. That's pretty much what that means. You can tell if something was really wisdom of God if it was justified by the results that it came out. Now, did Jesus get good results? Did he? So we've got to understand that this must be the way you do it. There must be something here that we've been taught out of. And who are the ones that we're getting after him here? Who are the ones that we're condemning him for being friends to the publicans and the sinners? Who? Religion. Religious people. You know the only people that Jesus had problems with? Were religious people and basically religious leaders. He called them vipers. He called them snakes. You remember when Robert Gay was here? And Robert said, you know, the way Jesus ministered to these kinds of folks is he would call them a snake. And he says, not only are you a snake, but your mama's one and your mama's mama's one, because they're a generation of snakes. And so this is handed down from generation to generation to generation. How many is tired of religious traditions that nullify the Word of God? Aren't you ready? Yeah. It's time that we try to get into the Bible and see what Jesus did. Because the wisdom is justified by what it produces. And His way worked. Do you realize that the church was birthed out of friendship? It wasn't birthed out of religion. It took 12 people, developed them, and then out of that 12, three. I'm going to talk about that in just a second. But He developed these people, these 70, and then the multitudes, and He developed such a friendship relationship with them that He birthed the church. We've tried to make it religious ever since. And it's time, folks. It's just time. You know, I don't know how else to say it. It's just time that we bring down the traditions of men and find out what the Bible really says. Now, kind of said all that, let's make sure. I want to caution you again. And I've told you this story before. That when we were in church a long time ago, that that there was this guy there, had a beautiful family, and he started skipping church and going to Callaway Gardens. And after a couple of weeks of him not coming to church, I called him, and I said, hey, where you at? And, we're witnessing to our friends over here in Callaway Gardens. I said, oh, yeah? Yeah. I said, well, okay. You know, and I kept calling him, and they wouldn't come back to church. And after about a month or so, he calls me. And he said, Delbert, he says, I got a problem. He says, you know, the friends that I was going to Callaway Gardens and witnessing to, he says, well, he and my wife have left us. He's left his wife. She's left me. And they're going to get married, and my home's destroyed. So what I'm trying to do here, I mean, knows that that's not wisdom. Wisdom is justified by its results. Right? Did he get good results? Well, he wasn't equipped. This guy was not equipped to do this. And so I'm sending a caution and a balance to what I'm trying to project to you today. Folks, you're not ready to go to the bars. You're not ready to go to the bar. You're not ready to go to prostitution houses. You're not ready. But the purpose of the church and the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers is to equip us so that we can become ready. Is that right? And it's time that we begin to do that, and you know that it is. It's time to get out of here. It's fine to come here and scrimmage and play the game and practice on one another. But folks, it's time to go out of here. Now, with that said, I'm going to add a line before I go to my next thought. Is the first, when I've been praying, and I've been really asking the Lord to help me and show me some things about this personal evangelism. Because we have basically lost the art of personal evangelism. Not just us, but I'm talking about the church world. I don't know of any church that's doing a tremendous amount in personal evangelism. And so I was asking the Lord, I said, Lord, you know, I really want you to bring across my path some people that are skilled with the gift of personal evangelism. And I want you to bring them and show me how to train that, take that, and I want it in my life, and I want it imparted into the people, and I want us to become a very evangelistic-oriented church. I want to see new people and making disciples, and I want to see us. And the Lord says, no, that's already in you. I said, what do you mean, it's already in me? I'm not an evangelistic type person. I'm not one of these guys who go around knocking on doors. He said, well, that's not what that means. I said, well, what do you mean? He said, it's the gifts of the Spirit, Delbert. He said, that's what the gifts of the Spirit are for, is for loving people. He says, now, if you'll understand my word and you'll look at my word, you'll find out that I never laid hands on my disciples. I never healed my disciples. Think about it. Who did he heal? Who did he minister to? The lost sheep of the house of Israel. Am I right? Light bulb. And so I said, well, now, what are you saying? Well, gifts of the Spirit are for going out and ministering to people. Gifts of the Spirit are to go out and you're ministering to somebody and you want to give them a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge. You want the Holy Ghost to minister through you to minister to this person. So maybe a prophecy, you know, maybe he'll come forth with a healing. How many knows that if you were to go up to somebody who was lost as the wind, I don't know, what's the worst thing you get lost, and you go up to them and he's in a wheelchair and he's crippled and you lay hands on them and it gets healed, how many knows you have impacted this person's life and probably he'll become a believer in Jesus Christ? Am I right? So the Lord started showing me this. I thought, wow, that's neat. And so rather than having an evangelism, this is what I'm going to try to do around January or something, is get a minister come up from CI who comes up here and will give us about a week seminar on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. In-depth ministry with an emphasis on personal evangelism. Okay? Do you see where I'm coming from here? And I want to just say that on that note, that when we go out of here, we need to go out with power. It won't work if we just go out. But if we go out with the power of the Holy Ghost, ministering in and through our lives, folks, things will happen. Now, I want to minister my second thought here, because I began to look at this and I began to see what Jesus did. How did he minister to people? What was the way he made friends before he made converts? And so I began to look at it and I saw something, the multitudes. The first thing that he would do is he would minister to the multitudes. He would teach the multitudes would follow him, he would heal the multitudes, he would feed the multitude. Okay? But he never was a shepherd to the multitudes. Say, huh? Show you a verse. Maybe it'll help you. It helped me as I was looking at this and I was looking at the multitudes. If you look with me in Matthew 9:36. We're right there in Matthew, so just back up to 9:36. This is where he sees the multitudes and he has compassion and he says, you know, hey, we need to pray that laborers go out. Now understand the picture. Here's Jesus standing here and the multitudes of people are here. And he looks out at them. And the verse says, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted. And he says, I am their shepherd. I'm here. Is that what your Bible says? What does your Bible say? They were scattered abroad as sheep, having no shepherd. What is that saying? That's saying that even Jesus was there, but even Jesus in his natural state could not shepherd the multitudes. What am I trying to say? I'm trying to say, I cannot be a shepherd to this many people. I can teach the multitudes. I can minister, heal. I can get you to follow me over to, and it's Reading Circle, that's the way you say it. I can get you to follow me to Reading Circle or any place else that we want to go. But as far as spending the time with you that it is required for everybody that will ever be in this church, being able to spend time with you and shepherding your life and making sure that you eat and you drink and you're ministered to the way that you minister to, I cannot do it. And the next thing he says there is what we really need to pray for is laborers. Is that what he says? Now, am I in context? Do you understand my thought? Out of this multitude, I found out there were 70. And this 70 people that were in this multitude, Jesus was able to take 70 people and get enough into 70 people that he could send them out to minister. He never sent out the multitudes, did he? But he sent out the 70. He was able to minister to the 70 enough to get the 70 where they could go out and minister to people. And they could cast out devils and they could heal the sick and they could do those things. But out of these 70, there was 12. You know how many apostles, disciple apostles, that Jesus was able to make in his whole ministry? 12. This is Jesus. And for me to have some kind of warped theology and thinking that I'm going to take a church full of people and make you all disciples, I am deceiving my own self. Can you hear what I'm trying to say? And then out of this 12. You see, let me read you a scripture. You don't have to turn there. If you're taking notes, it'd be good just to jot it down so that you can look at it sometime. First there was the multitude, then there was the 70, and then there's the 12. There was a time when he sent the multitudes and the 70 away, and he sat down with the 12 and just shared with them. In Matthew 13:36, then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and the disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us what you just said. Help me understand. See, he couldn't do that with the whole multitude. But there was at least 12 people that he was able to minister into. And then out of this, out of the multitude, and out of the 70, and then out of the 12, there was three. There was three that he put his life into. Peter and James and John. There was three that he took to Jairus' house. How many did he take to Jairus' house? Who were they? Who were they? I just told you. You're not listening. Who? Peter, James, and John. Okay. There were three that saw him transformed on the Mount of Transfiguration. Who were they? Peter, James, and John in the sailboat. There were three that went with him all the way into Gethsemane. And he said, pray for an hour. Who were they? So out of the multitudes and out of the 70 and out of the 12, there's this three that he really pours himself into. My point is this, is that we've got to develop a mentality that there is somebody that needs to get in my chariot that I really can minister to. I can't minister to everybody. And I'm speaking from your perspective. You can't minister to everybody. You can't minister to a multitude. We can't minister a whole lot to 70. We can minister some to 12 and get enough in them that'll in 3 or 4 years that'll really do some good. But we've got to come to the conclusion that even Jesus centered on three people. Am I on track now? Are you with me? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? You need to have somebody in your life that you're centering on, or maybe you're not capable of doing this yet, but that can center on you, that you can change their lives, that they can change your life. Say you're not ready yet to make disciples. Well, then you need to be discipled. If you're not yet ready yet to, if you don't have the confidence yet to go out and get somebody in the chariot with you, then you need to be discipled. And you need to pray that God will send you a laborer to disciple you. Okay? If you are and you have the confidence that you can do this, then you need to pray that God will show you a heart that you can link up with and you can say, get in my chariot and come let me show you my zeal for the Lord. If you're not, you're not obeying what the Lord said. Go and make disciples. Who's in your chariot? Who are you ministering to? You can't minister to the multitudes. You can't minister to 70 like we should. You can't minister to 12 like Jesus could. At the most, maybe 3 at a time. Okay? Now, the thing that frightens us, and we had to put off the Redding Circle thing. Herb Cole told me that it was Redding Circle. And he should know. He's been here since eternity. And he knew that there was somebody that lived over there, and his name was Redding, but it was spelled Reading. And it's enunciated Redding, so it's just Redding Circle. And so anyway, we had to put it off because the one thing, we were trying to press it and rush it. And then another thing is my wife had this wonderful idea. I thought it was just gorgeous, and I think it's of the Spirit of God. She says, what I want to do over there is I want to get about 50 turkeys and go over there and give them to them at Thanksgiving. How many of you think that'd be nice? Go around, knock on doors. You want turkey? Church at Lafayette. These people want turkeys. But anyway, we're going to set it up because we're not going to press it. We're not going to run in there and halfway do it. And what we want to do is we want us to do it. We don't want me and the few to do it. We want us to do it. This needs to be a corporate thing. Now listen, I was praying about that this week. And I asked the Lord. I said, Lord, what's the deal here? What's the problem? Well, the Lord spoke to me and this is what he calls me. He said people are frightened. They don't know what to do. They don't know what to expect. And so what I wanted to do in those last few minutes is I'm going to play a game. Okay? All right, now, here we are. We're over at Redding Circle. Okay? Steve is doing a mime up there. And Bonnie's up there doing a dance. And all the teams are up there ministering. And so I live in Redding Circle. Okay? So here I am. I'm walking up and I see this. So I stop. Okay? You're at Redding Circle. What are you going to do? Huh? Come on. So, do it. Let's play the game. Come on. This is the game. I want us to get some confidence. Who wants to? All right, I'm standing here.
I'm just going to stand right here.
Okay, you're just going to stand next to me?
I'm going to stand
okay.
Pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. That's different.
Yeah, that's funny over there.
Funny.
You ever seen
it? Yeah. No, I haven't. I haven't never thought about that.
Church at Lafayette.
Church at Lafayette. Where's that at? Which church is that?
That's down the street. From
which church is it, though?
Building.
What's the name of it?
Church.
Which church is it, though? I know it's in Lafayette, but what church is it? Y'all ever hear that? Yeah, what church?
Well, it's a non-denominational.
Non-denominational church. But what's the name of it? Oh, well, that's the name of it.
Yeah.
Okay.
They like to praise the Lord a lot.
Okay.
They have a good time. It goes on in church time, too.
Really? They do this in church?
They get excited, yeah. Excited. And a lot of times people praise the Lord. They go,
hey, man, I want to watch this. We've been quiet for a little while. It's good. Good. Very good. Very good. Very good. Very good. Okay. But now, how many of you would be able to do that? That's good. Excellent. Thank you. Yeah. How many of you are able to do that? Just walk up to a total stranger. One. Really, if you're able to do that, but now if you're not, I'm going to help you. Raise your hand. If you're able to walk up to a total stranger and begin a conversation, that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. About 13 or 14 of us. Okay, good. 15, 16, maybe 6 of us. These kids, all these kids got their hands up, man. These kids ain't afraid of nobody no more, man. They are ready. All right. Out of this many people, about maybe 20, okay? So that's what I'm trying to say, and that's what the Lord was showing me, is that we have a fear. So what I want to do is project some thoughts, and I want to follow up on it maybe a little bit tonight, too. And I want you to come back tonight with some thoughts as to what maybe your ideas that you would have that you could do. I think that it would be good, and Turk had the idea, that we have some kind of flyer, okay? All right, so you see this guy standing there, and so you walk up to him, and I think you need to introduce yourself. Hey, you know, my name's Delbert. What's your name? I think that'd be good. And then I think, you know, this is from the Church of Lafayette, and they do this kind of stuff at church. And maybe sometimes when you have time, you can take this and read it. You know, this tells about the dance team and the dramas and things that we do. And maybe sometimes, and I don't want you to throw it on the ground. You know, if you don't want it, you know, throw it in a trash can at least. But don't throw it on the ground. And maybe when you get a chance, you can read it. And then, if you'd like to go to church sometime, we sure would like to have you come. I see you, Joyce. Just a second. You know, you can say, you know, I sure would like to have you come. Sure would like for you to come over and minister to it, minister, you know, see what we do. And, you know, hey, you need a ride or whatever, we'll come get you. You know, let us Do you hear what I'm trying to say? But it seems to me that it would be easier if you had something to give somebody, something tangible that they'll have, you know. Somebody came up with the idea of pencils. You know, that's cool. Tracks, you know, people use the tracks and things. And I'm not a track person, but that's okay, you know. But something that will come up and minister about what they're seeing. Explain to them a little bit about it. And open a door. I think that you need to get the name, and I don't only think you need to get the name, I think you need to jot it down on something. So the next time you see that person, you can walk up to that person and call them by name. Do you know how that impresses people? If you can remember their name? Listen, who's saying that? My goodness alive. But think about that. Think about that. Now, I want you to come tonight. I want you to come tonight with maybe some thoughts, and we'll just pursue this a little bit. But how many feel already some better that you have some sort of an idea that if you were to go over there that you wouldn't be standing around like this? How many of you already feel that you could walk up to somebody and say, hey, this kind of tells you a little bit about the church. Well, let me give it to you. How many of you can do that? See, that's just about all of us. So what the Lord was really ministering to me was to kind of do something real simple. I don't think you got to walk up to the person saying, God, I got to have a word of knowledge. No, give me a prophecy for this person. My God, there's a cripple. I need to get him healed. You know, I'm not wanting to come across like that. But I am wanting you to understand that there are some things that will make it very simple just to walk up to somebody and minister to them. I'll share the story with you. The lady that's coming, she's not here today. I was hoping that she would be. That's coming from the mountain, Karen Elshire. Her and her husband was here on the night that we did the communion. And she came that Sunday night, she came that Tuesday, and then she was back that Wednesday night. It was Wednesday night that we were doing the communion. And so we were all, you know, having communion. We were walking around, breaking bread with each other and drinking. And so I walked over there to them, and I was having communion with them. Well, the Lord gave me a word of knowledge. You know, it was about a child they had, and there's some things going on. Well, the Lord just gave me a word of knowledge. And I said, you know, I'm getting this thought, and I just want to see if it's gone. And I projected it, and it was, and she got, you know, lightened up, so we grabbed hands and we prayed right there, and that ministered to her. And she came up to me the next Sunday or something, and she was telling me, she says, I've been really praying that the Lord God would give me that discernment of spirits like He's given you in the word of knowledge, that He can minister through me like that. See, that's why I'm wanting the gifts of the Spirit to be something that we're schooled in, that we're equipped in. You understand? So that when we go to somebody, that we're not scared out of our wits to say or to talk or to do something, but we already know the first step. We already know the first sentence. We already know the door open. And that's what Paul said. Paul said, I want you to pray that we'll have a door of utterance. Give me an open door so that I'll have a way in. And that's all we've got to have. Once we get in, He'll do the rest. Amen? So that's just a thought that I wanted to project to you. Because I know that frightens us because we're not schooled in that. We're not equipped in that. You know, we have a difficult time when a visitor comes into the church going up to them and saying, welcome, glad you're here. You know, enjoy yourself. You know, anything I can get you. Do you know where the bathrooms or the nurseries are? Do you know, is there anything I can tell you? Anything I can help you with? We have a hard time doing that. My goodness, how do we expect to go out of here and minister to people? Am I right? Okay, but it is time. How many believe me? It is time. Are you with me now? Am I on track? Am I hearing the Spirit of God? See, nobody else around here is doing this. Pardon? Well, Joyce Craig. Right. We need to be equipped in it, right? What Joyce is saying is we need to know the Word of God. And that's when we're making disciples. I think that will come more into it. And maybe, you know, we need to know how to get some, you know, we've been trained the Roman road, and we've got to know this and we've got to know that. Folks, I don't think that, can I say something? I don't think Jesus talked in King James English. I don't think He prayed, O thou most holiest Father of thine own greatness, thou that comest on the clouds of witnesses. I don't think He talked in the these and the thous. In fact, I know He didn't. English wasn't even invented then, much less King James. And so when somebody comes across with this piousness and this King James stuff, they're stepping into something that they're really not. Now, they've been trained that way, they've been schooled that way, and that's the way they are, so you listen to it, but you know, you got to watch. But anyway, what I'm trying to say to you is that I believe that Jesus, when He sat with the publicans and the sinners, He was not pious. He didn't talk like that. He was just a person. He didn't wear his collar. Okay, he just sat down and he ate and he drank with them and he had fun with them. And they would open up the scriptures together and they would have fun. And he had such a relationship with sinners that people said, man, you make friends with these people. Who knows, before you can make a convert, you're going to have to make. Can you hear that tonight, today? And I really want to open this up to us. I really want you to encourage you when you go to your job markets, when you go to Thanksgiving this year and Christmas, and when we have the times together, there are going to be people there. Listen, don't put a hex on them because they smoke a cigarette. Don't go up and tell them they're going to hell. I was praying about this morning. Where'd Angie go? She's down back. I was thinking about Angie, how Angie witnesses to people. I got to work on Angie just a little bit. You going to hell? I don't think Jesus did that, okay? I don't think he did that to the religious people. That's what he said. But to the, you know, in the scriptures, there are two kinds of people, the lost sheep and the found sheep. But they were all sheep. Amen. We want to go find them. That's all we do. That's all we want to do is go find the sheep. Okay, tonight, we'll come in. I got some things, of course, that I think are really neat that the Lord's opened up to me a little bit. And we'll talk about that if we need to. But tonight, we'll do a little different. Steve's going to go in the back or wherever he's going to go with the mime team. We're going to reschedule some things so that we'll shave away all the stuff that we do during the week. We're going to free up some time so that we can have time to make disciples. The reason I haven't made any disciples in 2 years is because I haven't had time to. And I know if I haven't, you haven't. And so we want to shave up some time so that we'll have time to be with our families and be making disciples. I want to encourage you this. I'm done. We're coming into a real neat time now. Christmas and Thanksgiving. We're going to be doing a lot of shopping. We're going to be doing a lot of going places and doing things. When you're going shopping, how about asking the Lord if there would be somebody that maybe He would drop into your spirit to take shopping with you, to go out to eat with you? Amen? I mean, can we not use this wonderful time of the year? I mean, isn't that what it's about anyway? Isn't that neat? Let's pray. Let's really ask God to use it. And really remember what DeLand said. Can you hear what DeLand said? Can you see what DeLand said? Right now, the Spirit of the Lord is really moving upon the hearts of people. He really wants these things. I know it just as well as I know my... Stand with me. Father, I've done the best I could. And I'm really in water I've never been in.